in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're welcome this morning. And let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke. Oh, before we, Luke chapter 9, that's where we're going this morning. But before we look at that, let's first of all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 so that we can have a focus when we turn to Luke chapter 9. You see, we have to see clearly what God is teaching us this morning so that we all can apply our lives to living by this truth. You see, the truth we have at our disposal is there for us to apply. Truth doesn't come just for fun. Truth comes in order to guide us in the way of God. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit has come, it will teach us and guide us into all truth. Why? So that we may walk in the ways of God. There is no greater joy in the heart of God, Bible says, than to see his children walk in the truth. And so whenever we receive truth from the word of God, we have to realize that as custodians of the truth of God, we are the people to demonstrate to all the world that there is a better way of doing things than the way they know. Because we were all in the world before. We did things just like they were doing. Now that we have the truth, we are a transformed people because we are doing things different than they do it. Now, because we have light, the light of God to enlighten the darkness that is in the world. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll encourage you to read it again when you get home, particularly maybe from about verse 16, so you can get it in a bit of context, or better still, you read it from about verse 14, because we are all born again because God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son for us all. So, and Bible says there in verse 14 that love, the love that Jesus brought unto us through Christ, is a constraining force on us. It's a restraining force. It keeps us in the mold of God when we understand it. Because even our faith works by love. When we really want to walk by faith, we must understand the love of God. We must believe that love. We must know it and then walk in it. And then our faith will be productive. All right. Now, look at verse 15. Let's read that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Once again, let's read together. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Please underline the key word, henceforth. If we miss that key word, we miss everything Jesus is saying to us through the scriptures. Henceforth means from this time onwards, non-stop until the end. It doesn't mean, well, I do it when I feel like, and when I don't feel like it, God will understand. No, God says, henceforth, this is the new way you have to live. This is the new way you have to walk. You cannot do it any other way anymore. And as we shall see clearly this morning, there is a reason for that. Because every promise God has given us in his word and every instruction that he has given us in the Holy Scriptures is ultimately for our own good. It is for our own well-being. If we fail to heed God's instructions, we play into the hands of the enemy. We have to realize that we have an adversary, the devil. Bible says is going up and down looking for whom to devour. And God has given us instructions in order to always prevail against the enemy. But if we don't obey God's word, we play into the hands of the enemy. He is the spirit of disobedience. The moment I disobey God's word, the devil is already in control at that point. And don't think that because you're a Christian, the devil can't control you. He will control the action of every Christian that fails to obey the word of God. Because it's the spirit of disobedience. That's why we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have to choose to obey the word, be doers of the word, because every time you obey the word, the devil has no place at that point in time. It's as simple as that. We spend much time trying to bind the devil. Whereas, if we just obey God's word, the devil is bound at that point. It's the spirit of disobedience. Jesus said, when you know the truth, just walk in it. And then the devil, who is a liar, will not have any room. Because the truth or light is in the place darkness cannot prevail. But we disobey God. And then we say, okay, let me pray for 10 hours and bind the devil. Today I mean business with the devil. This devil today is today. Today the devil, you are finished in my life. Today, but the devil is in the corner laughing at you. I say, who is finished now? I've already finished you. You're already under my power. You are disobedient to God just like me. You see? And then we are binding him. You say, bind who? Who is binding who? I've already bound you. You can't bind me. You're already under my control. I'm the one telling you to do what you are doing, and you're obeying me. And Bible says, whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey becomes your master. It's as simple as that. And that's why we have to understand that the reason God has given us instructions in his word is for our own good. There's an enemy out there. Waiting on the sidelines, looking for stragglers, looking for people that stray away from the word of God and preying upon them. If you watch wildlife, you see that, you know, lions and all those predators, what they do, they don't just run into the bunch or the flock. They don't do that. There is no lion that will do that. He knows that even though he's called the king of the jungle, if he runs into the midst of a herd, they will trample him to death. So what he does is go on the periphery, just looking for animals that don't bunch together with the other flock. And those are the ones he targets. It's the same thing with you and I as Christians. When we don't obey the voice of the word of God, we are straying away from the good shepherd who can keep us. And then we are playing into the hands of the enemy. That's why we have to understand these things and know them clearly. All right. So, henceforth, we are to do what? Say it clearly there. Henceforth, live not unto yourself. Let's put it that way. From now on, from the day you made Jesus your Savior and your Lord, from that day forward, Bible says, don't live unto yourself anymore. But live unto the one who died for you. Say to yourself, Christianity is a high calling. Amen. It's a high calling. We mustn't see it as religion. We must see it as relationship. Jesus has loved me so much and brought me out of darkness into his light. I must not be like the dog that returns back to his own vomit. He cleansed me so that I can be free from all the defilement of this world. I mustn't allow the enemy to put me back in bondage. I have to, from now on, realize that I have a good shepherd called Jesus, who has good plans for my life. And I must listen for his voice and follow him. And realize at the same time that the stranger is talking to me, trying to get me away from the good shepherd in order to bring me back into the bondage from where the good shepherd saved me and shut my ears to the voice of the stranger. That's what Jesus himself said in John chapter 10. My sheep know my voice. The voice of the stranger, they will not obey. He said, his sheep. Well, the question now is, are you a sheep or a goat? Because the goat does not listen to any shepherd. Goats don't have shepherd. They don't care about any shepherd. Have you seen a flock of goats following the shepherd before? No. It's only sheep. They go in an orderly manner and they follow the lead sheep.
who follows the shepherd. That's how they go. But the goat, they are their own shepherd. So they run, scatter all over the place, buck one another. And then if you call yourself their owner, they'll buck you too. And yet you are the one feeding them. They'll buck you, buck you. But the sheep are not like that. Say to yourself, I am a sheep. I'm not a goat. Amen. Praise God forevermore. So we have to see that clearly. As Christians, we have a focus. We have a focus. And that focus is to follow Jesus, who died for us. He gave his life for us that we may live this new life that he brought unto us after resurrection from the dead, the way God expects us to. So again, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. Let's also turn, while we are in Corinthians, to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, and chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let us read together verses 19 and 20. Let's go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Please underline your Bible, which are God's. God owns everything about you. You don't own yourself. You know how it is when we were in the world without Christ? We said, well, it's my life. It's my life. Nobody tells me what to do. It's my life. That was how we all lived. We had no God. Bible says, we were without God in this world. But now that we are in Christ, we have to understand that we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We don't own ourselves. We belong to the one that loved us and gave himself for us, who has now come to live on the inside of us by his spirit, and he owns everything about us. He bought us with his own blood. Precious blood. He owns us. Say to yourself, Jesus owns me. Everything about me belongs to Jesus. So I have to listen to him because he's the owner. I can't do it my own way. I have to do it his own way because I don't own myself. So I have no authority over myself. Jesus owns me and he has authority over all areas of my life. Amen. So we are to glorify God in our spirit and in our body, which belongs to him now. Because he bought us, we are his own. Have you seen a servant deciding how to run the house before? No. The servant is in the house to carry out the instruction of the owner of the house. But how come as Christians we just do our own thing? We don't even bother to listen to the head. And yet we are just the body. Say, well. Oh, nobody tells me what to do. Oh, it's my life. Oh, it's my this. Oh, it's my this. I own this. I own that. Say to yourself, I don't own anything. Jesus owns everything about me. And that's the truth. If you don't come to an understanding of that, you will still fall into the hands of the enemy. Because they will tell you, don't let anybody mess up with you. Otherwise, they will walk over your head and call you a fool. It's the same whole serpent. The same one that went in the Garden of Eden and told the woman, as God said. In other words, what God told you is not the truth. Let's reason together and see that what God said is not accurate. Say to yourself, I must not reason with the devil. I must only reason with Jesus, the word of God.
Amen. That's all. Don't lean on your own understanding. The devil is very smart, very cunning. If he could get Eve, who was created perfectly, how much more you and I? And he got Adam along with Eve, both of them in the same boat. Adam deliberately disobeyed God. So if the devil could get him to disobey God, don't think he can't get you and I to disobey God too. We have to be like the second Adam, Jesus, who simply settled in his own heart, I've not come to do my will. You see, what Jesus is teaching us to do, he himself did it. I've not come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That was why the devil couldn't get him. The devil put pressure on him many times. Oh, if you be the son of God, you are hungry, use your power and feed yourself. What do you have the power for? You are hungry, turn this stone into bread. But you know, at that point, even though Jesus had the power truly, as the Son of God, he could have commanded the stone into bread, but he would have disobeyed God because he's taking instruction from the devil. So the devil would have ruled over him just as he ruled over Adam and Eve in the garden. Whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey becomes your master. That's why we have to be careful on a daily basis. Who are we listening to? Bible says we should hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So who are you listening to? Because who you are listening to will determine how you are thinking in your mind. And if you can't think in line with the word of God, you are listening to the voice of the stranger. Because Jesus, the shepherd, is the word. You don't need a prophet to tell you. If each one of us would just pay attention and be careful to examine our thoughts and find out whether we are in the faith, we'll be able to quickly shut the door on the devil, because it comes to everybody every day. It comes to everyone. It comes through thoughts. It is the one that will bring you thoughts of failure. It's the one that will tell you it is impossible for you to be healed because the GP said your sickness is incurable. It's the devil. Have you found that in the word of God where God says, this one is impossible with God? Bible says with God all things are possible. How come we believe what man says instead of what God says? Well, it's the devil. The same serpent. He will just put the thought in you and say, you know, that's the doctor. He's the consultant, the chief consultant. He has been practicing this job for 60 years. He knows the in and out of everything. So whatsoever he says is the final. And then you agree with him. How come? Because you listen to the voice of the stranger. How come you did not listen to what God said? With God, all things are possible. The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with God. So that's why we all need to understand this simple truth that we are sharing this morning and apply it to our lives on a daily basis. So the focus, again, is that God owns us. If you just wake up every morning and remember, God owns me. So I cannot run my life my own way. I have to listen to the head, Jesus the Word, and make sure that I do whatsoever he says to do. And again, as I said earlier, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Once I see clearly the focus, then I'll realize I need the grace of God to do it. I'm willing to do it. Now I then go into prayer, which every Christian should be doing every day. So as I wake up this morning, Lord, I desire to please you, not myself. I desire to obey your voice, not the voice of the stranger. Help me. Give me the grace so that as I go through the course of the day, when situations arise and I need to make choices, you will strengthen me by your grace to choose to please you rather than myself. And then you set the tone. You know what will then happen? The Holy Spirit will be by your side. When situations arise, it will remind you of the prayer you prayed in the morning. Remember? You prayed, you asked for help. I'm by your side to help you. So don't forget. Don't forget to choose to please God. I'm here to strengthen you. And it will be easier for you to develop your life in that way of God. It's not going to happen overnight. You still stumble a few times even after making prayers like that, but just realize that you are growing. You are on the right road. You have set your focus aright. It's a matter of time before you
grow into maturity in that new way. But if you don't set it, you are just going to remain a spiritual babe all your life. And that's carnality. Because carnal Christians are Christians that are living on the hedge. They can fall to the other side so easily. It's dangerous. It's so dangerous to live in carnality. Because after some time, you stay too long in carnality, your conscience becomes dead to the voice of God. And it may even get to the point where you now end up denying Christ. Because there are many examples in the New Testament that Paul wrote to Timothy about. People who started well. Some of them were even traveling with Paul in his missionary journeys. But after a while, they left him and went after the world. They left the spirit and went back into carnality. So don't think that you can't fall. Say to your neighbor, don't think you can't fall. Bible says, let him that thinks he stands, take heed, lest he falls. Amen. So we have to be aware of these little things and daily walk with God, because God has come to walk with us, to help us to mature in this new life and become fruit-bearing trees that produce the kind of fruit that is looking for unto eternal life. And we all have choices to make. Nobody can choose for another person. So you have to choose for yourself whether you want to please God or not. But that's why we are sharing all these things, so that we all can have clarity as to what God has called us unto in Christ Jesus. We don't own ourselves anymore. We are to live for God. Why? Because He owns us. He owns us. We are to glorify Him in our spirit, in our body, in all areas of our lives, because we've been bought by Him and we belong to Him. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 9 and hear directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the good shepherd, who came to gather us unto Himself, so that we may be kept from the thief who has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus is so good. He loves us so much, and He has come to gather us unto Himself as a flock that the enemy cannot steal from. But if we don't listen to the good shepherd, we'll stray away from the fold, and the enemy can prey upon us. So we must learn to obey the voice of the good shepherd. All right. Luke chapter 9. For the sake of time, let's just go to verse 23 and let us read together. And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Please underline the word daily. And then after that, underline the phrase, deny himself. You are to deny yourself daily. I'm to deny myself daily. You see, religion will tell you, oh, since you confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, you can now relax, because you have been born into the grace of God. And now you are living under grace. It does not matter what you do, because you are living under grace, you are heaven bound. Just relax and take a flight to heaven. How many people have heard that kind of preaching before? We've all heard people preach wrong doctrine like that before. I tell you, a Christian living by that kind of doctrine can be left behind. Because when the time of rapture comes, carnality is not going to ever. It is those who are in the spirit. It's those who are in the spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the person that will gather the church unto Christ. And His spirit is going to pull spirit to spirit. Jesus Himself said, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. If you want to be caught up to heaven, be ready. Jesus Himself said, be ready, for you don't know the time when the Son of Man is coming. Blessed is the man or the servant whom, when his master comes, he finds doing the things he has commanded him. The time of rapture can happen anytime. So be ready. Stay in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Live in the spirit. Because when the rapture comes, it is those who are in the spirit, the five wise virgins, that will go. Not all the virgins. The virgin is talking about the church. The other five were foolish and they were carnal Christians. They lacked oil. No spirit. So they were left behind. But those that were ready were in the spirit. And those were the ones that went in with the bridegroom. All these things are written for us. And Bible says they are warnings. They are warnings that are written for us. Upon whom the hands of the world are come. Therefore, our admonition. And we need to pay attention to these things, you see. Jesus said daily. He didn't say do it on the day of your salvation and then go back to sleep. No, he said daily. Deny yourself daily. Why? As we said, he haunts us. As we said already, we are to live unto him who died for us and rose from the dead, not to ourselves anymore. So we have to deny ourselves daily. And now let's also turn quickly to 1 Corinthians 15. No wonder Paul said he died daily. You see, the reason why Jesus says deny yourself daily is because we are going to encounter on a daily basis challenges every day of our lives. Challenges that the enemy is going to bring to us in order to get us to disobey God. It's as simple as that. The devil walks round the clock because he neither slumbers nor sleeps, forming strategies. Bible says it calls them wiles of the devil. The devil schemes and plots against the righteous day and night in order to separate us from the word of God. Because he knows that the moment we disobey God, we miss out on God's best for us. It's as simple as that. You want God's best for your life? Obey him. You disobey him, you lose out. It's your choice. It's your choice. And so we have to understand these things. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, look at what Paul. See, we can learn a lot from Paul because Paul went through quite a lot. You know how right from the beginning, Jesus told him when he met him on the road to Damascus that he was going to suffer so many things for him. Some people think that to be a Christian means you won't suffer at all. You just lie down on a bed of ease. Just easy going. Easy going. But many people know, my Bible tells me the road is narrow and hard. The other easy way is not of God. It's the way of the world that leads to destruction. That's the way the devil has planned to take us away from the way of God. You say, well, you're a Christian. You have to take it easy. Just take it easy. You are living under grace. You don't need to study the Bible that much. You don't need to go to church that often. You don't need to even pray. What are you praying for? You're already under grace. Stop wasting. Go out and enjoy life. Because you're already under grace. Grace covers it. Even when you can go to the pub, take a pint today. Tomorrow, take 2 pints. Then when you go next week, add 1 more pint to the 2. And take 3. And before long, you become drunkard. Who did you listen to? You listened to the voice of the stranger. Did God send you to the pub to take a pint? See? Because you listen to the lies of the devil telling you grace covers it. Grace doesn't cover sin. Grace comes to help us not to sin. I hope we all know that very well in the Bible, where it is written that grace has come to help us not to sin. Rather than, okay, put your finger there because I don't want any of us to be fooled by any wrong doctrine. Turn with me quickly to Titus. First, we'll look at Titus chapter 2 and then we'll look at Titus chapter 3. So if you have been listening to messages telling you are living under grace and it doesn't matter what you do as a Christian, well, you better listen to the truth here and throw all that garbage out of your mind. Just purge them immediately because they are wrong doctrines. They will lead you astray. It's a strategy of the devil. Titus chapter 2. I'll read from verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, what is grace teaching us to do? To sin? No. Grace is teaching us not to sin. So grace cannot cover sin when it's teaching you not to sin. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against a kingdom, it's going to fall. So grace cannot come to teach me not to sin and then tell me at the same time, it doesn't matter if you sin, I will cover it for you. So grace has come to prepare me as the bride of Christ. Look at the next verse so that we can get it in context. The reason grace has come is to help me to be godly, to be walking in the ways of God, ready for the return of Jesus to take me home. Because Jesus is coming for a perfect church. It's not coming for a defiled church. There's no defilement in heaven. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify, please underline that in your Bible, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You have to be like the head. Jesus, while he was here, Bible says the anointing was upon him. He went about doing good. And you and I, as followers of Christ, we have to go everywhere doing good. You are not doing it for men to applaud you. You are doing it because that's your calling. You don't need to know them from Adam. Just do good everywhere you go. Because that's your calling and that's what grace has come to do in your life. We have to have zeal to do good works. Just like our master. Jesus that brought us grace to live like him. Because we are Christians, followers of Christ. The early church, Bible says, people took knowledge of them, even though they were ignorant men. They saw the character of God in them. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They took knowledge of them, Bible says, that they had been with Christ. Because they saw them doing it like Christ himself. If you go about doing bad or doing evil, you are not doing the ways of God. You are damaging the cause of Christ. Because thereby many people will talk evil of Christianity. You make up your mind, I am a vessel of God. Everywhere I go, I must do good. I must give Jesus a good image everywhere I go. So that people will see the way of Christ that is different from the way of the world. I will do good. Because this is what God is going to reward us by. How we have obeyed him. Because Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have obeyed my voice. So forget about what people say. Forget about the world. You see, as we shall see in a short while, if we are really going to do the will of God, you are going to take a lot of persecution in this world. You are going to suffer a lot. Because the world is against God. Just like your flesh and my flesh is against God. And the devil also is against God. So we have three opposition to the way of the spirit while we're in this world. The flesh, which is inside of us. The devil that is in the world. And the world. And the system. And there was only one way of God. Three ways of the enemy. See that the battle, or let's say the hordes, are against us. But if we walk in the ways of God, we see that the power of God overcomes all the three of them at just one go. The moment you choose to obey God, that choice of obedience defeats the devil because it's the spirit of disobedience, overcomes the world. By your faith, Bible says, you overcome the world, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and subdues your flesh, brings it in subjection. Because Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, by one choice of obedience, you take care of all those three. So you don't need to be doing separate things. Oh, I need to do something to overcome the devil. Then something to overcome my flesh. Another thing to overcome the world. No, just one thing. Choose to obey God. Let the Holy Spirit help you to be a doer of the word of God. And at that point, you overcome all those three oppositions instantaneously. Just by choosing the way of God. Hallelujah. So, we must have zeal to do good works. While we are entitled to turn to chapter 3 also. And look at what Bible says here. For the sake of time,
Let me just pick it from verse 8. Let's just look for verse 8 so that we don't waste much time here. We can go back to what we're sharing. Let's read together verse 8. Let's go. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men.
Well, have you believed in God? Bible says you have to pay all attention to make sure you maintain good works.
No, the devil will tell you, don't worry about good works because you don't need to. No man is good, remember?
No, that's quoting scripture out of context. No man is good on his own. But every man is good who obeys God because God is good. Even when they wanted to appoint officers in the church, remember? The qualities they were to look for. Part of it was men of good report amongst the people. In other words, men that are obeying God. Every time you obey God, you are a good man at that point, or a good woman at that point, because you are doing it exactly as the good God himself. And your work is good, which is the work of God at that point. But every time you disobey God, you are not good. That's why the Bible says no man is good, because all of the world are in disobedience. Only those who follow God do good works by the grace of God, you see. Thank God for his grace. Lift your hands to him and thank him for his grace. Hallelujah. Now, Paul, saying that he died daily, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, you see, is helping us to realize that just as Jesus himself said, that is the way. We have to do it daily because Paul faced a lot of challenges on a daily basis. We shall see a bit of it before we pray this morning. Just to encourage us. Because if you are saying, okay, I'm going to do the right thing every day, but then you don't have challenges, how then can you prove to God that you are choosing him or you are really living for him? Say to your neighbor, your faith has to be tried. You have to overcome challenges to show God that you are choosing to please him rather than yourself. Amen. That's not that way. Just like every other thing in this world, you have to test it and try it to prove that that thing can do exactly as it ought to do. If you want to buy a car, you have to test drive it to make sure it's doing the right thing. You want to buy an implement, you test it. You go to school, you have to pass test and pass exam before they give you certificate to show that, well, you are qualified. So it's the same thing with faith. Your faith has to be tried and proven. To show that you really are choosing to obey God rather than yourself. You are living for God and not yourself. And Paul went through so much challenges. Jesus told him right from the beginning how he was going to suffer. And Paul never failed Jesus. He kept the faith till the end. He went through all these things. He endured so much hardship for the sake of the gospel. And he passed on the same message to Timothy. He said, thou therefore, my son, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. But look at what he said here. Verse 31, for the sake of time, please read the old chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a very good chapter of the Bible to study, to know what our faith really is all about in terms of the new life, the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that we have, which we ought to live on a daily basis. Now, verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. I die daily. Underline that in your Bible. I die daily. In other words, I face challenges every day, but die to myself. I don't choose to please myself in those challenges. That's what he's saying. You know how much he went through? And he also said in 1 Corinthians, please write it down, look it up on your own later. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he said, he pommeled his body, brought it in subjection, so that after preaching to others, himself is not disqualified. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let us see what Paul is talking about when he wrote to them in the first epistle,
that we just read here in chapter 15, because he explains it further in the second chapter of the book of Corinthians, how much he was going through on a daily basis in the course of doing what God had called him to do. He wasn't going through those things, you know, for doing his own thing. He was doing the Lord's thing and yet going through all these sufferings for the sake of Christ. And so if as a Christian you are suffering for righteousness, Bible says you should not be ashamed. Even Peter wrote that in his own epistle. You should actually glorify God that you are going through those sufferings for the sake of Christ. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Now look at what is said here in Second Corinthians. Thank God for Apostle Paul. We can really learn a lot from him and allow what he said here to encourage us. I tell you, it's so wonderful. Verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I have more. In other words, those other preachers, please, when you get home, read it from verse 1. Because it's talking about false preachers that came into the church at Corinth. After he had left them, other preachers came and preached some eloquent messages. And they were actually getting the attention of the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth forgot about Paul. They even said this Paul said. It's nothing compared to these new ministers. These ones have charisma. Ah, look at that one with gold teeth. Ah, look at that one with Gucci shoes. Ah, look at that one with a designer suit. Look at Paul when he came. He didn't come with designer suit. Even he couldn't speak as eloquently as these ones. Ah, these are the real deal. That Paul is nothing. Let's forget about Paul. Let's listen to these ones. Without knowing that those ones are false preachers. But they will preach to entice the souls of men. Because that's the devil for you. If he could get Adam and Eve, entice them in the garden, he can use anybody to entice you from the truth. That's why you have to know the truth for yourself. And not fall into the hands of the enemy. So, it then says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. In other words, I'm humble to declare what I'm saying. I'm more than them. That's not pride. I'm calling your attention to the truth that those ones are false preachers. I'm the real deal. Even though you don't esteem me as anything compared to them, they have more charisma than me. But hey, don't go by the charisma. Listen to the voice of the good shepherd. And look at what it then goes on to say. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Before we go on to the next one, let's pause him. These credentials. How many of us love that on our CV? You know, you want to write CV, you write good things in quotes. You don't put things like this. But look at Paul's CV. It's nothing to boast about in himself. But everything to give glory to God. I'm suffering for Christ. That's Paul's CV. So you have to understand that as a Christian, that's your calling. To suffer for Christ. That's why Jesus himself said, you have to deny yourself daily. And then you take up your cross. And you follow him. It's a daily thing. This is what Paul was doing. In all these things, he concluded by saying, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Please read the next verses on your own. Because we are running out of time. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Paul didn't say, well, in all these troubles that I'm going through, I had a sleepless night. No. Oh, all these things has been too much of a bother to me. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to serve Jesus anymore. I didn't know that it would be this hard. No, no, no. He didn't even entertain thoughts like that, because right from the beginning, he said, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I'm dead. It is Christ that now lives in me. I'm living now for Christ. All my life is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. I am not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Even my sufferings don't bring me shame. They are actually an opportunity for God to be glorified in me. He wrote to Timothy. He said, well, I'm suffering all these things for the sake of Christ. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. No shame at all. Because I know him in whom I've believed. I know God. I know. He's a faithful one. And he's able to keep me and keep what I've committed to him until the last day. As long as I keep walking in obedience to him, it doesn't matter what I go through. Those things don't bother me. They don't move me at all. I'm actually glad to go through all these sufferings for Christ. That's why he listed all those things, to tell us that other ministers who are so eloquent, they can't even suffer for Christ. But those who are really doing the suffering for Christ, people don't recognize them, you see. Look at Acts chapter 20. Oh, I love this. 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 Now, somebody is suffering and is saying that these things don't bother him. How many of us can say that truly? That these things don't bother us. Hallelujah. From verse 22, it says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness it in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Please, let's read verse 24 together. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? I have a focus. I'm living for Christ. I'm dead to myself. I'm living for Christ. So all the obstacles that the enemy is bringing against me to stop me, don't bother me, because my focus is on Christ. I will gladly suffer all my days here on earth and go and receive the crown of glory in heaven. I'm not ashamed. You can call me names. You can make mockery of me. You did the same to my master Jesus. He didn't turn away from the cross. So how can I turn away from him now? If you are not ready to suffer for Christ, you cannot please him. That's where we are going this morning. That's why Jesus himself said, deny yourself. Lose your own life, and then you gain it again. And it is a challenge for everybody, not just ministers. So don't say, it's only ministers that are supposed to go through. No, it's everybody. In fact, turn with me there and let's pray. Second Timothy chapter 3. If you really want to please God, that's why you need to stay in the Word and in prayer every day. Paul stayed in the Word and in prayer every day, accessing the grace of God. That was why he was able to go through all those things. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. If you stay in the Word and in prayer daily, you'll be able to deny yourself daily, as Jesus said, because grace will be coming to you to help you. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. We cannot do it without the grace of God. None of us can do it in our human flesh. We all give up. But thank God, grace sustains us. Look at what he said there. Let's read together. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did he say some people? Did he say ministers only? Every believer in Christ, if you really want to please God, as Jesus said, live for me. Take your cross daily. That's why he's saying take your cross. Be ready to suffer for me daily. Then deny yourself. Forget about yourself. Don't think about shame. Don't think about your pride, your ego. Be like me, Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. The reason why many of us can't please God is because we are full of our own ego. Too much pride. My reputation, my this, my that. What reputation do you have? You have nothing. Christ is everything.
If you really want to please God, forget about yourself. Deny yourself. Paul said, "All the things that I gain, they are now rubbish, so that I may win Christ." Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him this morning. See, consecration is a personal thing. As I shared last week, it's a personal thing. It is a personal thing. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Every branch has its own attachment. You cannot do it for someone else. You can only encourage someone else. And then everybody has to make a choice. How close do you want to walk with God? How much do you really love God to lay down your life for him? How much do you really want to please Jesus and deny yourself? Take up your cross. Be ready to suffer for the cause of Christ, knowing that you are going to get reward in heaven for every sacrifice you make here on earth. That was why Paul, at the end of his ministry, wrote to Timothy and said, "I have kept the faith. I have run the race. I have finished my course. I'm a finisher. I'm a finisher. I'm a finisher." As you bow your heart before the Lord, see, prayers like this don't take even 1 minute, because it's deep, calling to the deep. It's a prayer of surrender. We prayed similarly earlier in the service, but now as we close, let's go back to the Lord again. I say, "Lord, help me." That's all. "Help me, blessed Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, help me. Help me to die to myself. Help me to deny myself. Help me to crucify all my own earthly lusts and everything I can call my own and be proud of. Help me to crucify them and count them as nothing in order to gain Christ. Because I cannot hold on to those things and have Christ at the same time. I cannot serve two masters." Bible says I have to let go of one in order to gain the other. Help me, Holy Spirit, to choose life on a daily basis, to choose obedience every moment, to desire to please Jesus and not myself or anyone else. Help me, Holy Spirit. I ask for grace afresh today. I ask and I receive it by faith. And now lift your hands to him and thank him. That's how it goes. It's a prayer of consecration. You don't pray the prayer of consecration standing there for 1 hour. No, no, no. It's a heart reaching out to God. And God always responds immediately to that kind of heart, because he wants our heart. He wants to help us to please him. May God help you. May God help me. May God help our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ to live for him, obeying his voice, denying ourselves daily, and walking in the way of his pleasure until he comes, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.